Hello, this is Jean MacDonald, the Midlife Midwife. Here is another audio track to help women with the different issues which affect and afflict us during our midlife transition and beyond. As you would have heard me say, I recognize that midlife women are the busiest women on the planet. They don't have time to watch long videos or read long articles. So we offer our longer items on audio tracks like this, so you can listen to them on your phone as you do other things. If you want to see and hear about the full range of support we provide for midlife women, visit us at www.midlifebutterflyclub.org and start by looking at our online magazine. In the meantime, I hope you find useful and enjoyable this audio track.
Hello, this is Jean MacDonald, the Midlife Midwife, and we're tuning in to the second session in our Spring Into Wellness show, which is supported by the Midlife Butterfly Club. And tonight we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject, but one that we, again, the subject we've been talking about so far, we don't necessarily talk about willingly, but we've got to. And these are gut health and its relationship to sleep. So in the area of gut, we're using this word gut more frequently now, although I think it was always thought to be something which animals had, but we didn't, although we do. We might more politely call it our digestive system. And you may not see the connection yet between gut health and sleep, but you will shortly. So what we call our gut today incorporates our stomach and our digestive system, but much more. As we're learning, its healthy functioning affects most of our body processes, including our brain, and therefore our mind. So this is a very important area of enlightenment that's coming to us now with the best modern science. And as you know, with brain scanning, one can see what's going on in the brain and then relate it back to what's going on in the digestive system, or gut, as we call it. And then we can see sleep as a barometer of our health and lifestyle. If we have difficulty sleeping, this is usually a sign of stress. And this can be physical stress, things going on in our body, or mental stress, things going on in our mind. And whether it's whichever it is, it's a sign that we need our system, our total holistic system is under pressure. And we need to take short and long-term action to prevent this stress becoming a long-term problem and affecting our long-term health. So today, I'm very happy to say, we meet two experts in this field. Julia Riewal is a very knowledgeable expert in the areas of digestion and the whole functioning of the body, and she'll tell you more about her passion about this. And Joanne Callahan is an international speaker on the subject of sleep, better sleep and more sleep. And so there's nobody better to connect up with these two subjects of gut health and sleep. So good evening, ladies.
Hello. Good to be here. And thanks for getting us together, Jean.
Hi, Jean. You're welcome.
Thank you. So, Julia, would you like to go first? And if I could sort of ask you a couple of, well, a leading question. First of all, tell us about yourself and how you came to be so passionate about this area of gut health. And also tell us about this new term. I'd heard the word before, but I didn't know what it meant. Microbiome. So tell us about both of those, you and the microbiome, please.
How much time do we have? No, I know. I'll try to keep myself short. I am very, very passionate about it. And so I usually have a script, not because I don't know what I'm talking about, but because in order to keep me in check time-wise. So, well, I have had a lifelong passion for health and really how the body works. I don't know where it came from. Somehow I think it's in our DNA. But also the fact that my dad was a GP and we had the surgery at our house and in a village probably, you know, helped the situation. So I always looked in his books and the magazines that he had and probably didn't understand half of what it was. But I just love what's happening inside. And our bodies are such sophisticated, to me, the most sophisticated and most highly engineered, you know, engines and constructs that there will ever exist on the planet or in the universe. So there's a lot still to be understood. But fast forwarding, yes, so I'm a foodie. I've always been athletic, and putting those three things together has been, as I said, a lifelong passion. A few years ago, I could make that my profession to really share my knowledge and help other people make better choices, just really by, you know, explaining. And that's really, again, where my passion lies, is explaining things in a way that it makes sense. Because I don't know about you, but I had enough of the school bench and when teachers told me what to do. I don't like to be told, and I think nobody likes to be told. So if I say, drink more, do this, you might just go like, why? But if I tell you what's happening, if you don't do, or if you do these things and you understand the benefit for yourself, then the decision is almost coming automatically. It's the decision that you make because it's the best for your personal life. So this is really where my passion lies, to make complicated things, put them into simple language that we can all understand, that makes sense to us, so that we can apply it. Yeah. Because nothing is worth, I mean, knowledge that you can't apply might as well be, you know, something for the garbage can. So there we are. And I'm a speaker to anything from primary schools to medical professionals and scientists. So I always try to adjust my vocabulary to the level, you know, I'm speaking to. And I love analogies. So forgive me, but I love analogies because this is how I think. So this is what I will share. But yeah, and so, I mean, really, where's the passion for the gut, especially? I looked into the gut a long time ago, long before it even became, well, the microbiome, I'll talk about this in a sec, a thing, and even a heard term, because of, well, my mother and my grandmother died of bowel cancers and issues with the gut. I myself used to be constipated all my life, despite being active, despite eating the right things, sort of, and, you know, thinking I'm doing the right things. Trust me, I had anything from pharmaceutical to natural. I tried it and nothing would happen and move things. And then my horse was my first baby. That was my biggest dream come true. Yeah, I had to put him down due to gut issues and problems in the gut. And so it was really sad. I mean, that was quite traumatic for me. So the topic of the gut and what it can do and how it can work for us or against us, it's really, really, you know, it's a thing that comes from the heart for me. And the more people know about and understand it, the better. So this is me in a nutshell. I'm also an energy healer. I'm a bowing technician and or a therapist. So different things. But today, you know, for the purpose of today, we're focusing on the nutritional side of things, and obviously how the gut is linked to the brain as well. So microbiome, you asked me about the microbiome. What is it? Microbiome is a massive term and it sounds really complicated, but really what it is, we are all made of about 100 trillion cells, but only 10% of those contain human DNA. So we are effectively only 10% human, and you will find articles and books and headlines, you know, 10% human, that's where it's coming from. So the remaining 90% of all these cells that make us is an acquired ecosystem of bacteria, fungi, microorganisms, non-organic material like heavy metals, plastics, and so on and so forth. And that is called the microbiome, as simple as that, yeah? So basically 90% of who you, what looks back at you in the mirror is actually not you. It's quite scary, but it's also quite fun. And, you know, this is something that we acquire from birth. Now, 2/3 of this microbiome reside in your gut. Okay. And the gut, you know, we tend to think the gut of our bowels. I mean, when we think gut, you know, tell me if you're different, but we think belly, bowel, stomach. But the gut actually starts in our mouth. Okay, it starts in our mouth, goes down the esophagus, stomach, etc., all the way out the other end to our exhaust. It's actually a 9-meter or 9-yard long tube. So whatever you put in here before it goes out the other end, you know, has passed through a 9-meter long tube and a few organs. I'm not going to go into exercise today, but I think it makes sense already, or you can see already why exercise is so important, because we need to move all this, which is like curled up in us. So, and just, you know, if you think like that, 2/3 of this microbiome, which sits in our gut, if 2/3 of almost everything that makes you is out of balance, yeah, then that has an impact on the rest of the body. And so if we have too many of these so-called baddies in the gut, the negative bacteria, the negative microorganisms, then that has a negative impact on the body. What's happening in this, and likewise, obviously, if we have enough goodies, the good bacteria in there, it has a positive impact on our physical and our mental health. So we do have a gut-brain connection. There is a communication highway between the gut and the brain. It's the vagus nerve, the biggest nerve in our body. And there are 9 times more messages going from the gut to the brain than the other way around. Okay? So for everything that we think or everything that we do where the brain says, oh, hands reach here or decide this way or behave like that, be shy or be bold. For everything we do, for every one of these messages, 9 messages have been sent from this gut microbiome, from this, you know, ecosystem to your brain. So the programming of what we do, how we act, how we think, how we behave, yeah, that has a lot to do with the balance and what and who is actually residing in your gut. So we've got this gut-brain connection. And we also have got lots of our hormones. Over 70% of our hormones stem from the gut. So just give you one example of depression. If you're depressed, you're lacking a hormone called serotonin. Now, hormones are, by the way, you know, again, another big technical term. Hormones are nothing more or less but messengers in the body. They're messengers between systems, between cells, and to our brain to help our body functioning. Yeah, that's what they are. So think of them as a mailman inside your mail system. So this hormone serotonin, yeah, that helps, is our happiness, our success hormone. Now, when we are so depressed that we can't get out of bed, we do need some antidepressants. We do need the medication or other pharmaceutical help maybe. But unfortunately, those medications and those medicines, they mess with the balance in your gut. Now, let me tell you that 90 to 95% of serotonin is produced in your gut. Mm. So if, you know, if you mess with your gut, you're producing even less serotonin. So, but you take the medication because you're lacking serotonin. So can we see this vicious cycle that we are in, that, you know, this hamster wheel that we just need to hop out of? Okay. So use the medication to get out of bed, to get to the next step. But then do look into what can I do elsewhere? How else can I support my body to really give me the resources from the inside and not destroy them further? So we've got hormones for our sleep. We'll hear, I'm not going into sleep because we've got another super expert here with Joanne later on. But, you know, the hormone for sleep comes from the gut. The hormones for our eating, the hormones, whether we feel bold or we feel shy, the hormones, you know, that help us overcome emotional trauma and anxiety, etc. All those, you know, over 70% of those hormones and menopausal, our female hormones. Yeah, you know, whether we're a bit Delala as a woman at a certain age or not, you know, a lot of that has to come, John's laughing here, but, you know, fact, a lot of that has to do with what's going on in your gut. And there are lots of other, the way we absorb food and medication. For those of you who might have to look into HRT, or you're looking at the contraceptive pill, or you're looking into certain foods. Maybe you're supplementing your diet because you want to lead a healthier lifestyle. Maybe you're on medication for blood pressure, diabetes, or other things. Whatever you put in your gut needs to be absorbed. Now, if you don't absorb it, you might as well not put it in your mouth, but down in the drain, or take the money and give it to someone more useful rather than, you know, put that down the drain. So we need to allow our gut to absorb whatever we put in. And again, guess what? The microbiome has a lot to do with it. If we haven't got the right bacteria in there, we don't absorb things. And How many people do you know who had, let's say, one issue and they took one pill, but then they had a side effect and they take another and another and another? Now, if you can't absorb the full value of that one pill or what you put in, then you might have to take two, but that doubles your side effect, that doubles the other tablets. And again, we're going into this vicious cycle. So I want to stop here because I think, Jean, you have got questions for me in this, but I just want to, you know, I hope everybody sees already the power of and the impact that a healthy gut balance has on our overall life. It also impacts the DNA. I mean, we've got, you know, there is so much there. As I said, you have to help me.
Well, now, yes, thank you so much, Julia. It clearly is a vast subject and one which it takes a long time to get our head round. So I commend you for the depth of your knowledge here. For us beginners, just beginning to get the head of this, it we can only, you know, it adds to the mystery. But what I'd like to move on from, but because I know you've got some lovely slides, which would be very helpful, is the effect of, let's say, an unwell managed body as we get older, particularly in middle life. I keep saying middle life will determine the quality of life you have in your old age, because those decisions you make then are what will determine, as I said, the rest of your life. I mean, I also said in something that when you're young, your body is extremely forgiving. We do all sorts of things effectively to abuse our bodies and still get away with it. But once you hit the sort of beginnings of middle life, let's say around about the age of 40, it becomes less so. It's pretty exhausted, actually. So unless we are taking action to put it right or to work against it, then our body accumulates all sorts of things that are not good for us and will make the workings of this very clever body. I totally agree with you. The body, the more you understand about it, the more awestruck one is about its cleverness. But it only can be clever if it's kept working, if all the equipment is in good shape. So may I go on to one of the slides and let you talk about those, because these really blew my mind.
I think I know which slide you're bringing up now, but just before we go there, not to confuse subject, I forgot, I mean, just to put gut quickly into perspective as well and to finish this, one of my favorite example is, because you just said, you know, how forgiving the body is just using a car. I think we all understand the basic things of a car, right? So we put, in order for the car to run, to take it from A to B, we need to put fuel into a tank. And then when we switch on the ignition, the fuel gets sucked through some pipe work, through some filters, we fire up the engine and the residue goes out the exhaust, because it would stay there, we would go boom at some point, right? We don't want that. And we're really, really careful to make sure that this fueling system in the car is always clean. Yeah, I mean, everybody who has a car takes it to an annual maintenance, so at least once a year. And we were careful with regard to the type of fuel we are putting in so that we don't stop at the garage, et cetera, or the petrol station. But what this fueling system is in the car, which is so utterly important in order to get us from A to B, that is what the gut is in our body, because our body has a tank. We need fuel. Ideally, we don't drink diesel or petrol, but, you know, eat and drink normal foods. But, you know, each to their own there. So, but we do have a tank. We have, you know, we have a pipe work. We have filters and we have an exhaust, which most of us know. And again, all that needs to go through there as well. And if there are holes in the tank, just like you have holes, just like your fuel from the car would leak down the drains, we could have holes in our tank and that leaks into the body. And we'll talk about that a bit later. But yeah, just to sum up the gut thing. But now I think I know which slide you're
right. Well, thank you. That's very helpful, because it's exactly, you know, as you say, a working system. So here are two slides which I found extremely, I mean, the writing is quite small, but Julia, I'm sure, will explain to all of us so we understand what they mean. So over to you, Julia.
Right, thanks for that, Jean. Right, so basically what Jean was referring to is where we had this chat about how our bodies sort of deteriorate. And I think one thing we have to understand is evolution. And no worries, it's not going to be a biology lesson now, but basically every organism in the world is there to just do two things. One thing is survive until we can reproduce, okay, to keep the species going. And then make sure we're surviving long enough still in order to make sure whatever we have produced as offspring can survive and reproduce themselves. So as human beings, we're really, really lucky because, I mean, just the three women as we sit here, you know, we are redundant on this planet. I've got three beautiful children who could just about reproduce. So I'm completely redundant, and every day is really a gift on this planet. And what the body is doing is it is shutting down and slowing down certain functions, which when we look in the mirror, we don't like the effect of often. Yeah. So one thing is what we have in our collagen production or our fibroblast activity and so on and so forth, which we then see in, you know, wrinkles. So we know things about this, but there is something else happening, lots of things. But this slide here is also showing some sort of evolutionary thing that's happening. Now, if you look at the, I hope it's the right slide for everyone. I look at the right slide where it's a more colorful slide where you have the 85% in the on the top. You'll actually see a cut artery on there in the middle. Or blood vessel, doesn't need to be an artery, just a blood vessel. In order to keep our blood vessels flexible and active, we need something called nitric oxide. Short for that is NO. Now, nitric oxide is a gas, and it signals to the brain that our blood vessels need to be kept flexible and widened, okay, so that nothing clocks up and the blood and everything, all the nutrients in it and everything that's floating in the blood gets transported nicely. In our 20s, we produce about 100% of the nitric oxide that we need. Now, nitric oxide gets produced, there are different 3 to 4 main pathways in the body. But the most important pathway, when it was that found out about, there were three researchers in 1998 who received Nobel Prize about their findings. So the most important pathway is by the body utilizing an amino acid that we get from food. So it's called L-arginine for the scientists here amongst us. But let's just say it's an element of food, a nutrient that the body uses, okay? And the body changes this nutrient to nitric oxide with some helpers. And this magic happens within the innermost layer of our blood vessels. And you can see this a little bit better on the left image where you see the long cut open blood vessel. If you look at this very innermost layer, which is a bit darker red there, yeah? Scientists thought for a long time that was just the lining of our blood vessel so that the blood wouldn't disperse just everywhere wildly in the body. Because it's only one cell thick or thin, you could say. That liner is called the endothelium. Now, this endothelium is actually where the magic happens, and that's what Dr. Luis Ignaro and two fellow researchers and their teams found out. So in this endothelium, this is where the L-arginine in our food gets changed to this important gas, nitric oxide. Now, what's happening, as I said, in our 20s, we produce enough nitric oxide. In our 40s, and those are the numbers you probably can't see properly on this picture now because it's quite small, but in our 40s, we are down to just 50% of production of nitric oxide naturally. So what's happening now? As we produce less nitric oxide, the endothelium, which lives, by the way, of nitric oxide as well. So the endothelium produces its own food. Yeah, so it produces enough surplus for the body, but it produces its own food to stay healthy. Now, in our 40s, part of evolution, sort of, and for various reasons, we are reducing this. And now the endothelium gets ill. There's also acidity, there's injury, there are other reasons why the endothelium gets ill, but the lack of nitric oxide makes it ill as well. And now the endothelium has a bit of a Velcro effect for instance, fats and deposits in plaques and stuff that float in our blood. And this is what you see on this picture. And again, you see it a bit better on the left one with the lung artery, a blood vessel there, where the yellow is building up over time as we age. Because as we lose, as the endothelium gets more ill and ill, more plaques will stuck. And that will start to clog up our blood vessels. As you can see here, they get narrower and narrower. And when we look at the number where it says 60s, underneath, if you could see that, it will say only 15%, 15% of the necessary nitric oxide is being produced naturally, okay? So if for those who are at a certain age here in the audience, you will remember times when heart attack and stroke were an old people disease. It was a disease that started of people, you know, 65, 70 and over. Now, if you look at this, if you see that from our 60s, we're only producing 15% of nitric oxide, then, you know, all over those years, we've started to clog up our systems, then, you know, it's no surprise, really. Now, what is the magic, though? Why did these researchers receive the Nobel Prize in Medicine? Not just to find out where nitric oxide was produced. However, they found out as well that if you give the body the right food to enable it to produce more nitric oxide again, then the endothelium will not just, then you will not just prevent further damage. The endothelium has actually the ability to repair itself. The liver is the only other organ that we have that will repair itself. So now we've got true magic, okay? Because this spiral downwards of the endothelium going ill, producing less nitric oxide, having less food, getting worse, producing even less, blah, 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 down. Now, if we put the right food in, and food, literally food I'm talking about, yeah, not pharmaceuticals or anything, I'm talking about food. We put the right food in, then we can actually spiral back up. And Dr. Louise Ignaro has produced a book or written a book, which has a subtitle, How Nitric Oxide Can Prevent, Even Reverse Heart Disease and Stroke. And that is a massive claim, but the claim comes from exactly what I just explained, the ability of the endothelium to repair itself if we feed it right.
That is fantastic. Well, thank you very much. In the interest of time, can I ask us, can we go on to the next slide and then see what you want to tell us about that, please?
Oh, that is just a bit of a fun slide to say that the gut and the brain are talking to one another. You know what I said earlier, the gut-brain connection. And as you see here, the gut and the brain, they actually look like one another. There are lots of similarities, by the way, between the gut and the brain. The weight of it, you know, the weight of the microbiome and the gut is similar to the weight of your brain. And, you know, they look similar. So that's just a bit of a fun slide to move on from that.
Very nice. Oh, very well worth reminding us. Now, what do we see here?
Leaky gut. Now, some people might have, you know, some of you might have heard of the term leaky gut. You know, a few probably know what it means. So leaky gut is simply explained, I love the analogy my friend and colleague usually uses. So if you make a cup of tea, you put a tea bag in and you pour water over it. Now, the reason the tea leaves are in a bag is because we don't want the bits floating in our water, right? We just want the nice flavor of the tea leaves. If that tea bag had tears, then the bits would float in our water and we wouldn't really like it. Now, that in a way is exactly what's happening with leaky gut. What you see in this image basically is on the more left-hand side with the three sort of pillars, which that is where you have very tight junctions, like your gut wall lining, okay, your gut wall, and there's a mucus lining. Now, those junctions are very tight. That means that everything that's in the gut can be absorbed properly and pass through as it needs to pass through. But if we have a problem in the gut, so through toxins, so-called endotoxins, through medication, through acidity, through injury, through the stress, you know, there are lots of reasons. why these tight junctions might be opened up a bit. And that's what you see on the right side of the picture. And what's happening then is, just like in a tea bag that has tears and the bits come out, the toxins and undigested food particles, all these bits that you see there, are able to enter our bloodstream. Gosh. Now, as that enters our bloodstream, once it's in the bloodstream, it can disperse anywhere in the body where the blood is floating and can start to settle somewhere. Now, these sort of little toxins and pathogens are identified by the immune system as invaders. So our immune system does what it's supposed to do, and it will go and try to keep these invaders in at bay and in check. And so we get herds of inflammation. Now, inflammation is there to literally to burn off. That's why we get hot when we have infections and stuff or inflammation. But, you know, to burn off the baddies. However, the problem is that if we have too much floating about everywhere in the body, and it's these underlying herds of inflammation everywhere, that is at some point too much for the body. And that's when we, and so inflammation is basically root cause of all disease what we have, yeah? From brain fog to arthritis to blood pressure to whatever, inflammation is the root cause of things. But in having this inflammation everywhere, it will find a weak point in the body. And yes, we will come out, you know, and we will have symptoms of these non-contagious diseases like diabetes, like arthritis, like high blood pressure, like, you know, as I said, brain fog, mental health issues, you know, lots and lots of different things that can actually happen. Yeah, and the root cause, again, is leaky gut. So keeping your gut in good balance, again, is really important.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Again, it's mind-blowing, the things that are going on. I want to bring Joanne in shortly, but let me just have a quick look at this, because I want you to talk about dieting. Well, please, you explain what's in the slide. Save me.
Okay. So don't worry about what you can't read on there. I'll talk you through this. Now, basically diet, I mean, who here has heard of a yo-yo diet? And if you are, you know, on live somewhere on anything, please put things in the comments, you know, ask questions about this, please do, and keep active. So basically yo-yo dieting. So we want to lose some pounds, then we go on this crash diet, we reach our target and like are completely exhausted, and then we reward ourselves and we are back and we're worse than before. And we think like, what the, yeah? So where is this coming from? Now, do we all need to know these swim rings? Fat is actually, it's important to understand the function of fat, because fat actually has a very good and important function in the body, not just cushioning us and keeping us warm, but fat cells also capture toxins. Okay, so a fat cell will capture a toxin. Let's just say this is a toxin in my fat cell and it's captured. Now, when we go onto these crash diets, and crash diet, I mean, we're cutting out carbs, these so-called no-carb diets. No-carb diets don't exist, by the way. So, but, you know, let's call them low-carb diets. The reason they work is because the body has to produce energy. There's no way around this. And if we don't put the carbs, the easy access to energy production in there, the body has to use fat. So it has to use the fat out of the cells. We don't burn fat cells, we only burn the fat out of the cells, very important. So, but as the body is now using the fat from the cell out of the cells, it's also circulating those toxins back into our body. Okay, so the fat cell shrivels, which is why we lose fat in front of the mirror. Okay, but the cell remains there. Now, if we have a lot of toxicity circulating in the body, there's an alarm mechanism to the brain saying, oh, you know, produce more fat cells. We need more fat cells to capture those toxins. So now we've got the old fat cell and we've got a new fat cell. And guess what? Now we've achieved our target of the weight loss, and we go out and we reward ourselves with a nice big meal and then another, and we think everything is fine now. But now we've got two fat cells to blow up and up and up. Can you see where the yo-yo dieting is coming from? That all of a sudden we even have more fat cells that can store things. I need to keep it short here. There are a few other things happening. But basically, what's happening is this yo-yo diet, and that we go back so quickly, is because the fat cells are there. The toxicity is high. Often we have people who lose weight in terms of 4 or 5 stone in a short period of time. Very unhealthy. You know, their inflammation markers can go as high as, I had a client who was sent to cancer checks as like almost an emergency check because their inflammation markers were so high. no cancer whatsoever going on in the body. It was just the toxicity that was so high in the body, yeah, from losing this weight so drastically fast. Now, why is a cellular detox first so important for any weight loss regime you're starting? Whatever weight loss you're approaching, do make sure you do something to draw out the toxins out of the fat cells first. Because if we have a deep cellular detox, yeah, and I draw the toxin out first and eliminate it from the body, then the body can take the fat. So the cell shrivels, but we have no toxicity floating. So the body doesn't need to produce extra cells. And there's no alarm and no more inflammation, etc. That's why it is so important, and to have a long-term effect of weight loss, to really go on a deep cellular detox first.
Well, can I thank you, Julia? You've given us insights into three major areas that certainly I speak for myself, until a few months ago, I knew nothing about, and probably most of our audience finds it equally enlightening. But it's heavy, not heavy stuff. It's fascinating stuff. And you've just given us that insight. What I want to say to everybody is all the good stuff that Julie's been talking about will be put into the Midlife Butterfly Club Resource Center with the pictures, the recordings of this video, and time for you to digest it. And there'll be also time for Julia to put in the implications of how this all fits together. But this is all new stuff, and we're so welcome, because 10 years ago, none of this stuff was known. I think that's approximately the thing. But it's not that well known to that many people. But you, having been on this call this evening, have an insight into this latest thinking and what enormous impact it can have on us and our longevity, because our longevity in good health is the most desirable outcome from taking the trouble, A, to learn about this, and B, learning how to apply it. But I want to take the opportunity now to move on to the subject of sleep, because Joanne Callahan has a lot of experiences in this field, and in a recent presentation, she is acknowledging the connection between gut health and sleep. So, Joanne, would you like to take it from here and tell us what you found out about this area?
Hi, Jane. Yeah, isn't it so fascinating what Julia said about the microbiome? I mean, it really influences our whole body and our health and our well-being and even our sleep. I mean, who would have thought? And what she said, we were only 10% human, and our microbiome really heavily influences our sleep-wake cycle. Our microbiome, we actually evolved from our microbiome, so they're actually controlling an awful lot of our environment and how we're feeling, our mood, and they produce our vitamins and all sorts of stuff. They have a big role to play in detoxification as well in the body. There's loads that I can go. So first of all, Julia said our microbiome produces in our gut 90% of serotonin. And what's significant about serotonin, this is one of our feel-good hormones, right? But serotonin, we need serotonin to make our melatonin. And melatonin is our sleep hormone. And so we want to take care of our gut. Now, the diversity of our gut reduces as we age, and depending on how we're living and, you know, stress. We hear about stress an awful lot, don't we? And stress, there's just way too much stress in our world at the moment. And it really is. I mean, it's a word that's probably overused, and a lot of people think, oh, yeah, I'm stressed or whatever. But there's so many different ways that we can be stressed and experience stress. And you said at the beginning there, Jane, you talked about physical stress, emotional stress, mental stress, all of that. And we are multidimensional beings. And stress, when we have stress, even a thought, it creates a chemical in our brain. And it turns on that stress response. So cortisol, adrenaline, all that sort of stuff. And that really impacts our gut, because the blood flow, first of all, it stops the blood flow in our gut when you think about it. Because what does the stress response do? It sends blood and oxygen to our legs and our arms so we can run away from that lion or tiger. So there's no blood in our gut, nurturing our gut, nurturing our environment, absorbing our food, all that kind of stuff. So we're continuously in this fight or flight response. And it's really something that we need to acknowledge and be aware of, because we need to start practicing more being able to switch on and off that stress response and the fire, the stress response and the rest and digest, we actually need to practice being able to switch it on and off, because we've lost the ability to switch between these two states on our nervous system. And this is what's going wrong at nighttime when people can't sleep, and especially for the midlife woman, because she's got a lot going on to contend with. And we need to be able to switch to this rest and digest to get that deep, restful sleep. And did you know, Jean, you probably do, almost 50% of perimenopausal women suffer with some kind of sleep disturbances, right? Night flashes, night sweats. We've heard of that an awful lot of the time. And even when we're menstruating, even before, and even like in perimenopause, we're still menstruating and we're still going through that cycle, the 28-day cycle, or, you know, sometimes you skip a period or whatever. But we are rhythmical beings and everything is a rhythm. And it's just so fascinating that when we understand how connected we are to nature and to these rhythms, and when we align with these rhythms and support these rhythms, our body can work optimally. Our microbiome in our gut actually controls, it has clock genes of its own in the microbiome, which controls our sleep-wake cycle. And what else can I say? So we talk about the brain and the gut, right, being connected, you know, when it comes to our mood and what have you. And we talk about estrogen and progesterone quite a lot in terms of the perimenopause and menopause. And the estrogen is what's declined. This is what's causing all the problems, really. But our progesterone actually starts to reduce from the age of 35, but it reduces 70% more than our estrogen does. Our estrogen declines as well. And it's this gap. And the wider the gap is between these two hormones, this is what causes all these problems that we experience, you know, all these hormonal problems that we experience. And one of the biggest things, well, let's talk about the brain health, right, as well, in connection with the gut. So estrogen, we need estrogen in the brain. And there are sleep centers in the brain, and there's all sorts of stuff going on in the brain that relate to sleep, the ability to sleep. So we've got the hypothalamus, which regulates everything, including our temperature. So we talk about night sweats. So a lot of women experience these night sweats, and the hypothalamus will regulate. So when the estrogen reduces, this is why we get this really burst of hot flashes or night sweats. But the thing about sleep is we need to have a cool body temperature for sleep, and for the onset of sleep, we need to have a cool body temperature. That's one of the requirements for deep sleep. So that's what's interrupting our sleep during the nighttime. And then in the brain stem, this is another part, this is where the actual sleep centers are, where it switches in between wakefulness and sleep. This is also the brain stem, and the estrogen influences that area, the ability to influence like GABA and all these neurotransmitters for the onset of sleep. And then we have excitatory neurons and calming neurons. So estrogen influences these neurotransmitters in our brain for sleep. And then we have the amygdala. So a lot of people are worried, they're stressed, anxious, depressed, all this stuff. And the amygdala is probably the main part of the limbic system in the brain. This is the emotional center of the brain. And that's going to turn on the fight or flight, isn't it? If we're worried, if we're upset, if we're concerned, if we don't feel safe. And this is what causes, estrogen influences that whole area as well. So there's a lot going on, a lot of different centers in the brain that that can influence sleep. But is there anywhere you'd like me to go, Jean? Because I could just keep talking.
What you've said is extremely helpful, and it ties in very well with what we've been hearing from Julia. But what I value about your work and has been of help to me is the very practical approach you take to improving the quality and quantity of sleep short term, because some of these other things are long term issues and they have to be addressed over a long-term basis. But we want to start improving our sleep right now, because if we don't, it's working against us. You know, it's like going with a faulty, go back to the car perhaps, if the car's too faulty to get to the garage, then it and we so a lot of the things that, and I know you've done 10-point guide for better sleep, and these are practical things that we can do right now or starting now to make sure we at least get the best sleep we're capable of in the condition we are, and then gradually it'll give us more energy, more resources, as it were, to address the deeper seated problems. So maybe you'd like to talk about some of those. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that we can do, because it sounds terrible, like, you know, and really it's only now in this era we're really starting to look at this whole conversation about menopause and perimenopause, right? And we're living longer now as well, and we want to have a good health span as opposed to lifespan. So there's loads that we can do naturally. There is hormone replacement therapy, which I'm not qualified to talk about, but there is that option as well. But before that, we can try all the natural stuff. So the very first thing I'd say is natural daylight, right? Because we need to get outside more. When we went back to our ancestors living in the caves, we were always outside. We're always getting that daylight, and the daylight provides us with so much, right? The daylight helps us to make serotonin. It gives us our vitamin D. We actually need vitamin D. There are receptors in our brain and the sleep centers, so we need vitamin D. A lot of people who have a lot of hormonal issues would be deficient in vitamin D. You know, you've got your vitamin B as well and all these other things, but vitamin D is actually a hormone. It's actually a hormone. We call it a vitamin, but it is a hormone. So vitamin D is absolutely crucial. So there's so much that we can get from daylight. Another thing that we can get from daylight is daylight has a spectrum. It has like a light spectrum that we have, the infrared, the ultraviolet, and it has different tones throughout the day, depending on what time of day it is. And one thing with the near infrared is it helps. So when we talk about melatonin, right? So melatonin being the sleep hormone. So listen to this. A lot of people don't realize this or are aware of this. When it comes to melatonin, we can actually help to make more melatonin with daylight. So it's made in the brain, right, as well, but it's also in the gut. It's actually 400 times more available in the gut. And melatonin on a subcellular level, we get the energy from the sun, from the near infrared, and that helps us have more energy. So you hear a lot of menopausal women, you know, saying that they're very tired. Fatigue is a word that's used quite an awful lot, and fatigue is very different than being tired, right? And when we have good mitochondria, which is our energy centers, but mitochondria does so much more. But when we have well-working mitochondria and melatonin in our cells, it really helps us to sleep better. But melatonin is probably the most powerful antioxidant. Now, when it comes to estrogen and all of this, it creates metabolites in our body, and we need to be able to eliminate all these metabolites. If it doesn't, if the liver doesn't pull them out or whatever, it does a second pass. I'm not going to get too technical about it, but it's the second pass then that's more toxic in the body. And this is why a lot of menopausal women will wake up in the middle of the night, because the liver function is overworking. It's not, there's too many toxins in the body. We're dealing with these metabolites from our hormones, but also xenoestrogens or xenoestrogens, whatever you call them. So these are like estrogen, things that mimic, like plastic bottles. We've heard of that. Our crops that have been sprayed with all these pesticides. So all these things are toxins, chemical toxins, and we have biochemical toxins. There's loads of toxins, and we can't avoid them altogether, but we can do a lot to eliminate. If we can eliminate toxins as much as possible, we're reducing the working load on our body and the working load that our liver needs to do. And that will enable us to sleep better at nighttime, because the liver is most active between 1 and 3 a.m. in the middle of the night. So if our liver is just flat out, you know, it's going to wake us up. And the liver is also associated with emotions as well, the emotion of anger and resentment. So if we have that going on, we can look up the Chinese clock if people want to find out more about that. But all our organs are associated with certain emotions as well. The kidneys is fear, for example. But liver, so how do we keep the liver clean? Well, obviously drinking loads of water, clean filtered water, not tap water. Tap water is full of crap. Avoid the bottled water, because it has the plastics in it that mimic estrogen, right? And, you know, we heard of estrogen dominance. Even though our estrogen is reducing, but it's in equation to the progesterone, right? So we can still be estrogen dominant. And with these plastics and all of that in our environment, So lemon water is very good to help with the detoxification process. Resveratrol is an antioxidant as well that we can help. Vitamin E is also very good that can help. But above all, the melatonin. So getting the daylight from the melatonin and helping the body produce its own melatonin. There are people that say, Joanne, should I take supplements of melatonin? I always, like, I'm not a doctor. And it's a hormone. So I'd be personally working with a doctor. And I know some people say it works, but it, you know, maybe it's a short-term solution. But here's what I believe is that when you're taking anything like that, the body will stop producing it as efficiently, even though as we age, melatonin is naturally declining how we make it. But when we're taking supplementation in melatonin, the body is saying, oh, well, we don't need to make it anymore. It's lost that efficiency of making melatonin. So I would like to make melatonin as long as I could naturally in the body. So there are a few things, Jean. I don't know where you want to go with that. I know you're watching the time.
Well, I'm so impressed, and I'm sure our audience is, about the level of knowledge that you have and the depth of we have to learn. Because if we want to make these changes for the better in middle life and therefore longer life, and I love that distinction between health span and lifespan. Mm. We can live till 80, but was the last 20 years of our life worth having if we're full of all aches and pains and chronic and diseases and things like that? So a health span is the name of the game. So what I would like to say is that, firstly, you're giving these 10 tips. I know that's something you've already sent to me, and that's going to go in the goodie bag, which I'll talk more about in a few minutes. But also, I'm very fortunate to say that both Joanne and Julia are experts in the Midlife Butterfly Club team. And so all these good things that they're talking about will be made available, if you like, in bite-sized chunks or referable chunks and so forth. So if by me, it takes time to absorb all these things, and that can only take so much at a time, they'll be able to do that, because all of this stuff is absorbable. All the words that are used are available to us. They're not medical terms. Well, some of them are also used by medics, but let's say we avoid this over complication by keeping everything simple, as Julia said, analogies. And some of these analogies that are coming up are brilliant, because it gives us something to hold on to. So do you want to talk a little bit about the 10 tips that you're going to be giving away in the goodie bag, Joanne?
Yeah, I don't have them here in front of me offhand, but I can tell you a few of them. So the first one is obviously the daylight, and there's so much about daylight. I mean, I can't, especially first thing in the morning, because this is what resets the circadian rhythm. We are creatures of rhythm. And for so many of us, we are out of alignment with nature. We are very, very disconnected from nature. I was talking earlier on about the sun, you know, the sun, the hues of the sun change as, you know, sunset, sunrise, and then in the middle of the day, the height of the sun. Our body actually knows the time of day based on the light that's emitted from the sun, the different hues. So resetting your circadian rhythm is really important first thing in the morning. So get out and get daylight, even if it's a cloudy day. It's still much more effective than the brightest light in your house indoors. It's so much more effective. If you're if you can't get outside, if you're immobile or whatever, you can use a light box. It's really, really important that we can switch off the melatonin and get the cortisol going. Cortisol is not entirely a baddie. We need cortisol to get us up and going in the morning time, but it's having cortisol at the right levels at the right time of the day. So that's really important. Movement is very important. Movement is a cue to the body that it's daytime. We need movement for the lymph to work, you know, for that detoxification again, the nitric oxide that Julie was talking about. There's actually a little exercise that I love to tell my clients. It's Zach Bush. Julie, I don't know if you've heard of Zach Bush. He is a specialist in the microbiome, Zach Bush. And he's an endocrinologist as well. But he, look it up on YouTube. There's a 4-minute exercise that you can do to get your nitric oxide going. And women are very prone to cardiovascular diseases as we progress during life. So the nitric oxide can help with that, that exercise to activate that nitric oxide naturally. What else? Don't eat too late.
Just tell us a little more about this 4-minute exercise, please, because it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, I know. So what it is there's you do three sets of exercise. You do some squats, you do 10 squats, then you do, and it's working all the major muscle groups in the body. So you do your squats, then you do these arm exercises, right? Like this. You'll see it better on the video. Do the arm exercises, yeah. And all around the shoulders, like menopausal women have, there is like frozen shoulder is actually one of the symptoms of menopause, believe it or not. And it's to do with inflammation, because there's so much going on in the shoulder. There's so many connections and ligaments and joints and all that kind of stuff. So getting everything moving around the shoulders is really, really important. And then he goes up and down like this as well. But you have to watch the video to really get the full benefit.
Can you put his name into the chat, please? Because the best way of ensuring that we know where to go on YouTube.
Zach Bush. So there he is. There, I'm after put. Oh, no, hang on, Zach Bush. There we go. So really watch it. He's an expert when it comes to the microbiome. He's an absolute expert. So I've learned so much from him about the microbiome, and the microbiome just cannot be underestimated. I think really people need to learn more about the microbiome and how it impacts our brain health, brain fog, all sorts of diseases. Leaky gut that Julia talked about is massive at the moment. Dysbiosis, just imbalance of the microbiome. And then it all affects sleep. It affects everything. The gut literally runs our whole body, because as Julia said, you know, we're 90%. It's 90% microbiome that we're made up of, you know. So we've got to respect our microbiome.
Well, that's fascinating. And it all ties together. But as I said, it takes some absorbing for ordinary mortals like me to get our heads around this and to learn what to apply and what to do now, what to do short term and long term to take advantage of that. So because we're coming to the end, let me first of all thank you both for giving us your wisdom, knowledge and experience in this area, because I don't know, but I think this needs to be exposed more. As we said in last night's session about the menopause, all of these subjects were not talked about. Women's problems were dismissed as unimportant, or let's say just not consulted. Now, the last 10 years has shown a great opening up, but we need to make that bigger and bigger than it, and make it again in what I call, I don't want to knock the medical thing, because the medical thing has its place, of course, but we want this knowledge available for the woman in the street, so that she can understand the practicalities of what she needs to do in order to ensure this long-term health span, as you put it. So thank you again, ladies. Let me just talk about very briefly about what's coming up in the future. Tomorrow, before that, I'm going to talk about the goodie bag. Oh, yes, thank you, Andrea. I've not seen this before. Andrea's been working on this for us. So in the goodie bag already, which is going to be available to everyone who is on these calls, at the end, I'll talk more about tomorrow night about how you get the goodie bag. We've got the Menopause Men for Men by Rick Stevens, which we talked about last night, and Recipes for the Menopause, Seven Mistakes. So what we're going to be putting together, certainly we've got Joanne's 10 Tips for Better Sleep, and I'm going to be talking to Julia about what we can extract from those slides and turn into a simple booklet, which you can start with in terms of just absorbing it, having something, look at it again, print it out on your computer, those kind of things. So
Jean, sorry to interrupt. I do have a full booklet, so we will put in the goodie bag a full detailed booklet about the gut microbiome, how this is all linked, what you can do, with lots of hints and tips of, you know, what you can do, how it is affected, etc., with lots of visuals and
okay, that's great, thank you very much indeed. Tomorrow night, you'll see this updated. There are a few things that have been, the three audio track, all the sessions that we've doing have been recorded and being recorded as we speak. And those will be available, but we'll need some visual aids as well. And just like Julia said, a booklet which you can go through and stop and start and really absorb. So you make this knowledge your own and then start to live by it. That is the idea. So let me just move on and say tomorrow night. Sorry?
Sorry, could I just say, I would also like to add something which is a free online health check. It's a lifestyle analysis. And with this, usually, so you get this, you do this online. It's all about your lifestyle, what you can do, and gives you an instant idea of how your bodily systems actually perform. Now, usually there is a consultation that you can book with me. Well, you can still book this, but I'd like to offer an additional 15-minute consultation free for anyone who has watched this. If you mention the Midlife Butterfly Club, then there will be a 15-minute free consultation to help you interpret your results.
That's very generous of you, Julia. And let me just say that I haven't mentioned that I am living proof of the improvements that working with Julia can produce. So, 4 months ago, I was a wreck. My digestion system was a mess. And fortunately, I heard Julia speak and I signed up with her. And I've done this health check before and after, although there are many more afters because continuous improvement is possible. So that is very generous of you, Julia. And so watch this space. And well, we're just coming up to time now. So just let me say briefly, tomorrow night we've got Stephen Leggett and Rick Stevens talking about the dangers of and the ways of avoiding the diabetes, which is the scourge of our age. And I'm sure you know plenty of people who are suffering from diabetes, and you would want to make sure that you do not go there yourself. So that's tomorrow night. So finally, I'd like to thank all the people. Firstly, thank our guest speakers, Julia Rewell and Joanne Callan, for their brilliant insights tonight. Just so much stuff, my head is buzzing. I want to thank the VIP guests in our studio who've been putting comments in here in the chat and enlivening the discussion and the feedback. And finally, to thank you, our audience on social media, for attending tonight and participating to the degree you feel able to. And tomorrow night, same time, same place, look forward to seeing you there. So do we want to all say goodbye? Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the end of this podcast. I hope you got some useful tips that you can apply in your own life. If you want more information, guidance and inspiration, visit us at www.midlifebutterflyclub.org and check out our online magazine. In the meantime, this is Jean MacDonald, the Midlife Midwife, signing off till next time. Bye.